This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. All hands on deck, bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess. Again, I want to thank David Hanna. Forgive me, I am so sorry that I confused David and Mark Hanna. Hopefully you can understand. But David is quite gracious, and his new book is just being released on the 27th. That would be today. It's titled Rendezvous with Death. He's an historian. And, of course, in this book, he talks about the untold stories of American heroes from World War One that have not been told. They have been omitted from the history books. And anyway, an important story, excellent book, highly recommended, Rendezvous with Death, available at all the usual places. Well, one of the things that we found over the week, you're going to love this. This is a cute song. My dog is a Democrat. This has absolutely gone viral. I'm sure we're going to be talking with Samantha about this tomorrow as well. But listen to this song, which is featured on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. It is a hoot.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact that my dog might be a Democrat. I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. But he just acts like he's entitled, even tried to unionize the cat. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat. Chewed up the Constitution that I keep on display. And every time Benghazi's on TV, he looks the other way. I know he's a liberal, even if he won't admit it. He pooped on my living room rug and tried to tell me George Bush did it. He ain't got no papers, and what really gets my goat is if he could find a ride to town, well, I know they'd let him vote. I'm sure we've had some good times. He's been fun to have around. But if he ever barks about my right to bear arms, I'm gonna have to have him put down. I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the street. You'd have to be a socialist to ever act like that. So my dog must be a Democrat. All his behavior has been hinting that his mom might be Mrs. Clinton. I think my dog
a Democrat.
I'm Brian Lewis, and I approve this message.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Hey, we're back with the America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. And you can hear this little ditty there at your own convenience and share it with your friends. What a hoot, huh? You got to appreciate the creativity of America and our free speech, because I'll tell you, some people wouldn't, you know, they don't want us to talk like that or sing songs like that. But you got to see his hat too. His hat, he's got a kind of a Donald Trump reference, and you'll see it when you go to the video there at BillMartinezLive.com. Well, we hear a lot about Hamilton these days because of the success of the Broadway musical, and you know, that's been going on in New York. But we're going to be talking about the untold story of the extraordinary alliance that forged our nation and the unlikely duo behind it. We're talking about George Washington and Alexander Hamilton. With us right now is Stephen Knott, the author. Stephen Knott, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. Congratulations on the book. I love history, and most of our listeners, you know, they get to go along for the ride, and they enjoy history as well. And, you know, we really, you know, appreciate what you've brought into this understanding of Washington and Hamilton, the alliance that forged America. It is one of those stories that I don't know that we've heard much about, if anything.
Well, that's true, Bill. I mean, I'm sure you haven't heard too much about it, because, in fact, most of the writing, the scholarship on the American founding tends to focus on the relationship between Jefferson and Madison, mm-hmm. or Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. So, ironically enough, while George Washington gets a tremendous amount of attention, and Hamilton only recently due to the success of the musical, there's never been a full account offered of this, what Tony Williams and I consider to be the critical relationship of the founding period, that of Washington and Hamilton.
Well, let's break that down and give the folks some understanding of what you're sharing here with us.
Sure. Well, what you had here was two very unlikely individuals coming together. In other words, Washington being a child of sort of Virginia gentry, and Alexander Hamilton being an immigrant from the Caribbean, coming out of a completely dysfunctional family background, mm-hmm. and managing to rise to the top, first of the American military and later as a first Treasury Secretary to George Washington, being Washington's key advisor throughout the 8 years of Washington's presidency. And the two of them, despite these remarkably different backgrounds, end up forging very, very similar views about where the United States should go, what direction the new nation should head. And the two of them both shared this vision of convincing their fellow citizens to think of themselves as Americans, not as Virginians first or New Yorkers first or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they were very much unlikely visionaries, I would describe them. And I think we owe the success that this country's had over the last 230 years to their vision.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now in the conversation is what's happening in Europe. And I think that we're trying to get our brains around where does nationalism begin and where does it end? Is there a demarcation?
Great question, and I do see a number of parallels between this this recent vote that was taken for Britain to withdraw from the EU. One advantage that the United States and the Founding Fathers had was that all of the 13 colonies, with the exception of Maryland, shared the same religious background, which was usually sort of British or perhaps Dutch Protestantism, and also, of course, the same language. And that gave our founders an advantage in terms of forming a kind of stronger union. The European Union does not have that foundation. They do not all share the same language. They do not all share the same religious beliefs. In fact, you could easily make the case their differences outnumber their similarities. So Washington and Hamilton were nationalists, but they had the ability, I think, to build on a sort of primarily Anglo foundation that allowed the United States of America to emerge back in 1789.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and speaking of religion, that seems to be foundational at the heart of the Constitution. I mean, you've got, you know, the idea Madison said, or Adams, I believe, was the one that said that, you know, the Constitution was specifically designed for a people of a moral foundation, a moral perspective. So where do you get morality but from religion? And in contrast to the EU, they try to make it a total, you know, a contractual arrangement, void of religion. They were real specific to say, you know, we're not going to allow religion, much less Christianity, to enter into this agreement.
No, that's absolutely right. And, of course, our founders, our framers understood that for a people to engage in a system of self-government have to be able to govern themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the religious beliefs of at least the American people at the time of the founding were critical. In other words, freedom can flourish in a regime where the average citizen puts certain limits on his or her own conduct. And that, of course, I think is directly relatable to the religious beliefs of the founding generation. Now, I understand there were different levels of religious belief, and there's a good case to be made, perhaps, that Jefferson and some of the others were not traditionally considered to be Christians, and I do understand that. But it is clear to me that most Americans back in the 1780s and 90s shared some type of usually Protestant Christianity, and that helped to build the United States of America.
Well, what seemed to be the basis, and of course you can argue this until the cows come home, is the basis of it all still seemed to be the Bible, and how one would interpret it, how they would be able to embrace their own religious perspective and views was up to them. But still there was, for the most part, I guess what you find in, particularly in the case of what happened overseas, is you really, there's probably more that you agree on than you disagree.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And, you know, most of Americans back, we're talking about the 18th century, of course. I mean,
yes.
The Enlightenment views of many Americans were that was also in concert with their Christian beliefs. In other words, a lot of Enlightenment thinkers believed that there was a natural order to things. Mm-hmm. This is why a lot of them go down a kind of scientific path. But right. There's not a real gap between believing in a natural order of things that's discernible through reason and believing in a natural order of things through faith.
Exactly. Well, when you consider the seeds of the pilgrims that came here to the United States, These were persecuted people of faith. And
exactly.
what would you expect to come out of the roots of these seeds that were deposited here in America? But people that had some fundamental belief in God and their Bible.
That's right, Bill. Absolutely correct. Couldn't agree more.
Well, our conversation continues with Stephen Knott, his book, Washington and Hamilton, the Alliance That Forged America. And I promise we're going to get deeper into the book. We diverted for just a moment because of the appropriateness of the title and the conversation. It seems like so little has changed even though time continues to march on. Bill Martinez live here with you just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour, America. More with Dr. Stephen Knott right after this.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts, available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. And this could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
Martinez live.
What does it take to win your love for me? How can I make this dream come true for me? Oh, I just got to know. Ooh, baby, cause our love is gold. Gonna go behind.
memories with that song, huh? Don't you love it? A little Junior Walker here. Just about 19 minutes after top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Dr. Stephen Knott is with us, professor of national security affairs at the United States Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. Prior to accepting his position at the Naval War College, Dr. Knott was co-chair of the Presidential Oral History Program at the Miller Center of Public Affairs at the University of Virginia. Stephen, in your book, in the introduction, you lay out the background, a bit of what we touched on earlier. You said one of the more important founding collaborations, and this is outside of the typical stories that we hear about, including Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. You say one of the ones that have been overlooked by most people of history and readers is the unlikely partnership of George Washington and Alexander Hamilton. The extraordinary alliance between a wealthy Virginia planter and a brash immigrant from the Caribbean helped to win the Revolutionary War, establish a new order for the ages. These men fought together for the better part of 25 years to win independence and forge a new nation. Indeed, no other founding collaboration was as important to achieving victory and nationhood as Washington and Hamilton. And I guess that sums up the motivation for why the book Washington and Hamilton, right?
That's absolutely correct, Bill. I had written a book earlier, about 10 or 12 years ago, on Hamilton. This was long before he became a hot commodity due to the success of the Broadway musical.
Right.
And it's always been my contention that Hamilton has never quite received his due, perhaps until recently. And it always surprised me, especially when you consider that George Washington arguably had the closest relationship with as opposed to any of the other founding fathers. So it seems to me it's been an oversight in our history, and Tony and I hope to rectify this oversight.
Exactly, and I should make sure that I reinforce that you and Tony Williams, the co-authors of Washington and Hamilton, and as you mentioned, of course, Hamilton, more top of mind because of the success of the Broadway musical. Were you surprised at that?
Very surprised, Bill. I first heard that this musical was in the works 6 or 7 years ago, and I remember thinking to myself, this is going to go absolutely nowhere, because I just couldn't picture how you could create a hip-hop musical about the nation's first Treasury Secretary. And it just shows you, this is why I'm in the academic world and not in the entertainment world. I could not have been more wrong. I've actually seen the musical, and I would strongly recommend it. It's very well done. I mean, I took issue with a few of the liberties that the producer took, but that's, you know, that's because I'm a history geek. It's
right.
Extremely well done.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the, as far as understanding Alexander Hamilton and, you know, the myth and the legend and the man, what do you think is the most grievous thing that that we misunderstand about Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah, there's this, I still see this all the time, Bill, this notion that Hamilton was somehow a friend of the plutocrats. He was a friend of the 1%, as we might call them today, a friend of Wall Street. And my conception, my take is that Hamilton was actually attempting to create both a political and an economic order that would allow people of talent and ambition to rise to the top. And a lot of his critics, to be blunt, they tend to come from the left, see the economic system he created, which was essentially American capitalism, as one that was intended to favor the wealthy. And again, I believe he was trying to create a system that would allow the talented to rise.
Exactly. Well, we've learned through experience that the cream always rises to the top. And sometimes it's difficult when you're not part of the cream, isn't it?
That's correct. No, that's exactly right. And of course, Hamilton, along with all of the founders, understood that human beings were a mix of motives. They could do some things that were very sort of on the high end, we might say, of individual initiative and following their consciences and so forth. But human beings are also capable of avarice and some of the lesser things we might think of. And they all understood that human beings were a mix of these qualities. And I think Hamilton and Washington tried to create a system, as I said, that would allow the best of human nature and the best human beings to rise to the top.
Well, when you consider, you can build a government to thwart it and limit it altogether, take away the incentive, or you could open up the incentive and hope and pray to God that people, hold to their moral values, and somehow that serves as a governor, and that you only need government to come in once in a while and institute a timely regulation, not an ongoing restriction that stifles growth and development.
Now that's exactly right. And by the way, I should point out that Hamilton is frequently considered to be the father of big government, which I think is absolutely incorrect. Mm-hmm. But he certainly did believe the federal government had a role to play in national defense, and that was probably one of the key motives for him in pressing for a stronger federal government. National defense and international relations were a top priority for him.
Job one, isn't it? Still?
Job one, absolutely.
Yeah. I think this is one of the things that we fail to realize, and sometimes voters need to understand and put that at the top of their list when they choose a candidate.
I couldn't agree more, Bill. And too often, I shouldn't say too often, but occasionally I think we as the American people do forget the importance of that. The president is the commander-in-chief, and you could make a strong case, and I'd be willing to make it. That's his most important job description right there.
Well, and this is why I've maintained, Stephen, and you could say unfairly, that I would look for a man who's had experience in the military.
I think that's a real plus. Obviously, both Hamilton and Washington had considerable experience in the military. And I think throughout our history, many of the leaders in the military have gone on to hold political offices and proven themselves quite well. Now, there are exceptions. I mean, Abraham Lincoln had minimal military experience. Franklin Roosevelt as well, and they proved to be fairly adept commanders-in-chief. But I certainly look for it when I go into the voting booth.
Exactly, and I think that in addition to that, I think we've moved away, in terms of having people involved in our government. And when I say military, I say military and service to our country. You
Good.
Have to put some skin in the game here. It's not just, so I don't want people to think I'm just, okay, let's have everybody in the military. There are things to do, some heavy lifting, some participation in the foundational issues of our government and our country that I think are invaluable and that could be a blessing to every citizen of this country of ours.
Well put. Couldn't put it any better than myself. The notion of public service, of course, was something that both Washington and Hamilton almost all of the founding generation believed in, that for a time anyways, not permanently, but for a time, you sort of owed your country, you should give something back to your country.
Well, these two voices, Washington and Hamilton, that you're giving voice to in the 21st century, what is the takeaway message for the electorate that this book is screaming out to them?
First of all, these men, Washington and Hamilton, were ultimately men of moderation. They would urge, I think, their fellow citizens today to sort of avoid the extremes and to keep in mind the whole purpose of the American experiment, which is self-government, and also to revere the Constitution. And I think, unfortunately, we've lost that sort of reverence for the Constitution. And part of the reason Tony and I wrote this book, at least in part, was to both restore Hamilton's reputation vis-a-vis George Washington, but also to restore a sense of the importance of the Constitution. And if we make a small contribution towards that, I'd feel very grateful.
Well, this book, Washington and Hamilton, is a nice partnership with the Broadway play. I'm sure you will enjoy both.
Yes.
Dr. Stephen Knott, Professor of National Security Affairs at the United States Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. Stephen, the book by you and Tony Williams, available at all the usual places, correct?
All the usual places. Amazon.com is probably the quickest. Just put in Washington and Hamilton, and it'll pop right up.
Well, there it is. Dr. Stephen Knott. Thank you, Stephen, for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 after.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home and design experts Aaron and Ben Napier. With Independence Day around the corner, plan a party in full style but not full price. Here are tips to host a festive get-together on budget.
We love hosting our friends on the 4th, but it gets so hot in the South. To keep beverages cool in the heat, we freeze colorful water balloons and stick them in a tub or a cooler. The balloons don't melt as fast as regular ice, and they look great too.
We get some of our party supplies, including beverages and lawn games, at grocery stores and wholesale clubs. And with our Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, we earn 2% cash back on those purchases. We can also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on everything else. The cash back we earn adds up to more party fun.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
A note to D.C. bureaucrats. You're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live. Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, just for you, America. Stephen Moore is with us right now, distinguished fellow with the Heritage Foundation, American economic writer and policy analyst who founded and served as president of the Club for Growth from 1999 to 2004, a member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and frequently opines on the pages of their op-ed section. Fact of the matter is that Stephen still knows how to add and take away the old school way. And the numbers actually balance out, Stephen. I think you're just messing up the culture today. You actually work with numbers that make sense.
Well, it's great to be with you again. And
always
laughing when you were saying that, because I was listening to Hillary give her speech the other day. It was about a week ago, and she was saying, she was blasting Donald Trump for, he's too dangerous. He's going to, blow a hole in the budget, and in the debt. And I thought, gee, this is coming from a woman who's working for the guy who sort of increased the debt by $9 trillion in 8 years. And then she said, here in America, we pay our bills. And I'm like, no, we don't.
Yeah,
we don't pay our bills. We've got to, writing $9 trillion in hot checks is not, since when is that paying your bills?
Yeah, and being on a trajectory of bankruptcy. I mean, we're bankrupt, but we just haven't read the memo yet, I guess, Steve.
Well, so the huge debt is $19 trillion. With the economy growing as slow as it is, the debt is rising and rising as a share of our output, and that, that's a share of our GDP, and that's a very scary situation, especially if interest rates start to rise. We're in a boatload of trouble, but I just thought that was so funny for her to say, well, we're a nation that pays our bills.
Yeah, this whole thing is just total hypocrisy, and she's a walking irony. We know that, because she says things, and it's going, well, weren't you there? Haven't you been there? Haven't you been part of the problem? Now you want to step outside and have the audacity to say that you had nothing to do with it, and you've got the solution. Well, you know, you're the one that brought us into the problem, so, you know, it scares me to think what kind of solution, you know, you're going to come up with here.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, across the board, all of the things she accused Trump of with things that she's guilty of, too. Yesterday she said, you know, I was amazing after the Brexit vote. You know, she said, well, what we need in America that shows is somebody who's a career politician who knows how government works and knows how this place around Washington works. I'm like, generally, are you paying attention? The last thing people want is a member of the elite political ruling class. Yeah. That was what the Brexit was about, rejecting people like you.
Exactly.
You know, she's saying, well, Trump doesn't have a steady hand like I do. It's like, he's run successful businesses. You got rich by giving speeches for $250,000 to, you know, Goldman Sachs and groups like that. But, you know, this race is full of irony, isn't it?
It really is. And speaking of Brexit and the disconnect that she and President Obama, I mean, President Obama goes over there and tutors the British for 20 minutes, kind of sent a little salvo over the bow of their boat by saying, hey, look, if you guys don't stay with the European Union, you're going to go to the back of the bus, so to speak.
Yeah, can you imagine Ronald Reagan saying that to Margaret Thatcher?
Yeah, no way.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, the problem in the world right now, by the way, what this really exemplifies is that there's no leadership. There's no leadership in the world. Where are the Churchills and the FDRs and the John F. Kennedys and the Ronald Reagans and the Margaret Thatchers? There just isn't anyone. And the world is spinning out of control because there is no leadership. And Barack Obama's not a leader. You know, Cameron is not a leader. Merkel is not a leader. I guess the guy who thinks he's the world leader is Putin.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nobody that's really standing up for freedom and liberty. And I think that's one of the reasons people around the world feel disconnected with the political system.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's such a bad thing to worry about your own country first. You know, Stephen, when I'm on an airplane, they tell us in case of an emergency, and if those you know, oxygen masks comes down, it tells you to do what? To put yours on first, right? Before you try to help somebody else. And you can't help anybody if you're limping along yourself. I mean, how much good are you?
That's so true.
So, and
well,
I think this is... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, more importantly, you know, I've always believed that America's greatest role in the world is to be this beacon of freedom and a showcase for how to get it right. And, you know, one of the reasons that the world economy is in a recession now is that, you know, when the United States doesn't get it right, nobody gets it. None of the other countries get it right. They follow our lead. You know, Reagan pulled not just the United States, but the whole world out of a, you know, mini depression in the early 1980s. And, you know, the problem is every policy we've had out of Washington for the last 7 years has been counterproductive. And as a result, you know, a lot of the countries the world have been leading, you know, have been following our advice, and that hasn't been very good advice. It hasn't worked very well for us, and it's not working very well for them.
And that's clearly the fruit of the decisions, the choices that we've made. In your book, your new book, congratulations, you and Kathleen have written Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. Stephen, I mean, you're a numbers guy, and you look at the numbers historically. I mean, we're showing 95 million Americans over the age of 16 aren't working. Even that number is bogus. You know, it's manufactured in order to support a low unemployment number that somehow, you know, makes the president look good, but at our expense. Isn't that right?
Well, anybody really believes that the unemployment rate in this country is 5% is smoking something. And Americans know that's not an accurate number. The real unemployment rate is closer to 10% when you take into account all the people who dropped out of the workforce or can't find a full-time job. So this is, you know, this is something that is just a fiction. And again, this is another reason nobody trusts anybody in Washington, because they lie about the figures.
Exactly. Well, and we know people still need to survive, and you and I have talked about this before, and that is this underground market of people being paid under the table, and in part, you can't blame them. You understand, hey, look, they're just trying to put food on the table for their families and exist in this very, very tough, you know, tough economic environment that the president insists that we're better off today than we were when he took office.
Yeah, hardly. I mean, you know, in fact, the middle class has seen no gains at all since he entered office. The middle class actually lost ground. This is the first time we've actually had a recovery where the American people in the middle class actually lost ground. And, you know, yeah, if you're in the top 10%, you've probably made some good money. But people, you know, in the bottom, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50%, they've actually lost ground.
Right. Well, they've made money on paper because of what the Fed has done, don't you think?
Well, it's been a recovery, and I don't know, can't really explain why, that's helped the people at the very top. Maybe it's because they're the insiders or the ones who are connected to government the most. And, you know, I think our Fed policy has been abysmal for the last 7 years. You can't print money to create jobs. And, you know, when you combine that with the massive increase in debt and the higher taxes and the minimum wage increases and the regulatory strangleholds and Obamacare, you know, need I go on, all these things are depressing business, and we have to just erase them. We have to repeal 80% of what Obama has done, and we'll get back to prosperity.
Well, amazing that you have Hillary Clinton, in contrast to her husband, who saw the writing on the wall and said the era of big government is over. He made that announcement, saw it very clearly. Hillary is double downing on Obamanomics, huh?
Yeah, and Obamacare as well.
Yeah.
You know, she said she's going to expand Obamacare. In her speech, she got three economic ideas that she talked about. One was, the first one was... that she was going to raise the minimum wage. The second one was raise taxes on the rich. And the third one was spend more money on infrastructure. And I thought, geez, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Barack Obama's done for 8 years. That's hardly a change agenda. I mean, this is really truly an election about whether the American people want change or not. And, you know, Hillary Clinton is the ultimate status quo, you know, 4 more years candidate. And Trump is talking about some dramatic changes. And we'll see what voters go for. But I think the Brexit vote tells us people want change.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that Brexit may be foretelling us something. He's the author of the book Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. He and Kathleen Harnett White have written it to our benefit. Read it and be informed. Stephen Moore, thank you for being with us on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out of pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Today,
how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the things, make you.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will lead the chain. Let's go down, down, down.
Your program. Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
It's all about the things that matter to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you along with us for the ride. Bill Martinez here with you, pursuing truth no matter where it leads. And in between, we have those moments where we're fortunate to have good folks like Bob Olaszewski from Focus on the Family with us. Bob is the Director of Media and Culture and Director of Focus's Plugged In Department, which features the popular Plugged In website. Robert, happy Monday to you. How are you?
Happy Monday to you, Bill. Now, you say you're seeking truth, and then you stop and you do things like talk to me. Does that mean that what I say is not true?
Yeah, this is why we make sure that when you talk to us, your right hand is raised up and your left hand is on the Bible. Not the Constitution, not the Quran, the Bible, okay? I want to make sure it's perfectly
right,
clear to everybody.
Okay, well, from now on, I'm going to try to be accurate.
Hey, I've never known you not to be, Robert. Come on, let's go.
I know, I'm teasing you.
Hey, in fact, you know my sentiment towards Focus on the Family. In fact, we've been trying
Absolutely.
To get Del Tackett on here. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, their series, and I've become an evangelist for it. I mean, it's been out, what, 8-10 years now, The Truth Project.
Something like that, yes.
It is just a fabulous, fabulous program, and I recommend it for every church. If you're serious about the truth, it will connect you, it will rock your world, and help you make some decisions and choices in your life. It is so well done. They cover all the major topics. I tell people, I go, it's kind of like almost a master's course in apologetics, if I can say that.
Well, and we also have the Family Project, which for people who are listening who would like to go through a Bible study kind of course to just kind of strengthen the family, we've got that. And for pre-marrieds, we've got a series called Ready to Wed, is, I believe, 12 units, like 30 minutes, and then pause and let's go through some questions and talk about. And so there's quite a few good things that are more recent in the last decade, if you will, recent, that are really, really good.
And we can give a plug to your boss, Jim Daly, his book. We talked to Jim last week. Marriage Done Right, One Man, One Woman.
Yes. And his book, Refocus, for those who are looking for something. And Refocus is about what the ministry looks like today, what is the tone of handling some of the big issues of our day, like abortion, like homosexual marriage, like the bathroom bill? How can you be salt and light in a culture that dismisses faith voices and refocuses about that. I think it's a tremendous book on that issue.
And I think the churches are having a challenge with that because, you know, we had talked with a couple of church historians in the previous weeks, Bob, and the sentiment is for these churches, they're more concerned about their mortgage and understanding, look, they got stewardship issues, and they're saying, look, we don't want to alienate people who have been, you know, tithing and supporting this ministry. And if we address these issues, you know, that we want to see as more political than cultural, you know, I think it's tough. It is a tough decision and choice for them to see. And you just pray that they get wisdom from God and to know how to handle this stuff. Because, you know, I just drove through Orlando this past weekend, and throughout the city there were signs, pray for Orlando. Pray for Orlando. Why would they have those signs up if they didn't think that God
had prayer did some good?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
in 9/11, we had the same, and typically major national tragedies. Even newscasters will say the news, and every once in a while, depending on the newscaster, they'll say stuff like, our hearts and prayers go out to the families. And it's like, yeah, I hope our prayers are going out, because we do need to pray. So,
well, we see what's happening in, you know, in the Christian community, to the point in Orlando and in other areas that are being underreported by the mainstream media. You hear these in, you know, as anecdotal stories, not very well publicized, of churches coming alongside the LGBT community. And, you know, Jesus said that would be the difference, you know, that they would know aspire love. And there's a lot of love being directed to LGBT. We may not understand. We may still be conflicted in trying to put it in the proper perspective in this. But, hey, these are our children. These are our sons, our daughters. That we're, you know, that we're dealing with, that we want to love. And, you know, you hear the stories of this mother getting a text from her son. He's there in the bathroom and he's trapped and he says, I'm dead, Mom, I'm dying. We're getting shot here. I mean, Bob, I'll tell you, that just hit me right in the heart and hit me deep. And this is what's happening in the community there in Orlando. Is there lots of church? I mean, Chick-fil-A that was maligned for taking a stand, right? And what have they done?
They opened on Sunday, not for commercial purposes, but to make sure that people that were helping were fed, people that were traumatized had some place to go. You know, God bless them, you know. And I noticed on the West, I was watching NBC News over the weekend, and I noticed that when they were talking about the West Virginia floods and over 20 people have died, is they showed people that were handing out food and bottled water to people who were needing it, without mentioning it hard, the back of their t-shirts, and they were showing a back view, there were probably seven or eight people in the shot that had something about, I'm here because I'm serving Jesus.
Yeah.
It's something along that line. And I thought, oh, how nice. You know, you know, people get the idea. Hey, first to serve, first on the in the community to hand out food. And it's a faith-based, it's a church, it's a, I don't know who it was, but obviously their Christian faith,
people of faith
motivated
exactly.
them to be there.
Right. And Bob, I would say, and not to be cynical, so excuse me if you perceive it that way, but that was probably local footage. If it was national footage, that seems to be, you know, exceptional. You know, they will do everything they can to avoid any reference of God, Jesus, or Christianity or the Bible. And so that was probably local footage that, you know, that they had picked up. And probably afterwards somebody said, oh, my goodness, you know, whatever, you know. But I'm sure there's probably some discussion, because that seems to be taking place in the back rooms of these newsrooms, that they really, but the fact of the matter is that Christianity is much more pervasive than what the mainstream media would like us to believe, because it operates at the front lines. It goes to the issue and the problems that happen, and it's just a part of our natural DNA to help people who are in need. I mean, if you are a follower of Christ, you can't help but go to where need is crying out, can you?
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, I editorialize here a little bit, and but let's talk about movies. You saw Free State of Jones. What did you think?
Well, let's start on that one. Boy, I really liked this film, Bill. And yet it's a film I can't recommend. Think of Saving Private Ryan or Braveheart or Patriot or one of those films that is couched in great, great messages and people doing the right thing against all odds. And yet the carnage can be brutal. I mean, Saving Private Ryan, the opening scene on the beach of Normandy is brutal. Yeah. And in Free State of Jones, Confederate war and a soldier named Newt Knights, based on a true story, who defected from the Confederate Army and kind of started his own little state, if you will, his own little country with slaves and with other people joining him, and to stand against what he was seeing that wasn't right. Southern soldiers that were raiding his neighbors' farms and stealing their food just for the Army. He hated that. Yeah. And yet the opening scene in this movie it's 10 or 15 minutes long on the battlefield. And the carnage is brutal. And yet, I love the messages. I really like the film. It could have been a PG-13 version.
I was going to say, why an R? I mean, you know, you and I ask that question all the time. Why an R? You know,
If people wait till it comes out on video and can watch it through VidAngel that edits out some of the harshness, or ClearPlay, it would be a very, very different film. Finding Dory's at the top of the heap again, not a surprise. Some people were rooting for Independence Day too, but Finding Dory almost made twice as much as Independence Day. I think they're calling Independence Day a bomb. But Finding Dory, certainly not a bomb. Almost $300 million, and it's only been out 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. People wanted a family-friendly movie, a movie that we gave a perfect score, certainly about the family. It was a great, great message. Independence Day, the aliens are back, no surprise. But a lot of language, especially misuses of Jesus as a cuss word, which is fingernails down a chalkboard for me.
Exactly.
And so when it doesn't do well, I cry no tears over that. The Shallows came in at number 4. Interesting film. It's booked as on Box Office Mojo as a horror film, but it's really not. It's a survival film. It's about a 20-something young woman who goes to a Mexican beach where her mother had taken a picture. Her mother just died of cancer, but had her 20-some years ago. Had been on the same beach. The daughter's trying to reconnect with the mom, trying to figure out where she's going in life. Heads out on her surfboard, only to be surrounded by a 15-foot great white. And then how does she get back? She finds a coral reef to stand on, but it's going to be high tide's going to put it underwater soon. How does she make it? It's an interesting film, pretty brutal too. Not as brutal as Free State of Jones, but it has its moments. And yet, I was rooting for this young lady to survive and do the right thing. We gave it a 2.5 out of 5. It's not a terrible score, but it is keeping in mind the intensity of some of the
cautionary flags are up. Bob Olszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture. Bob, where can they go to be connected with you?
PluggedIn.com.
It's just that simple. Bob, thank you. As always, happy Monday to you. Thanks for being with us. This is Bill Martinez.
Would it be okay if you had 2 paychecks instead of 1? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105. For a recorded message.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771. 71.